And let me remind you again that I do covet your prayers about the situation. And I told my wife, I think this has bothered me more than the actual surgery. And just praying the Lord will help us through it. I want you to go over to Acts chapter 6 tonight. Acts chapter 6. I'm going to begin in verse 8. Now, most of us are familiar. In Acts chapter 6, the early part of the chapter here, the church has grown. 3,000 people got saved. Then 5,000 people got saved. The church has grown. And the apostles are having trouble keeping up. And so it tells us in verse 1, when the number of disciples was multiplied, some of the people felt they were being slighted. So the disciples got together and prayed and got some wisdom, and they said, we need to choose out 7 men. Verse 3, look ye among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom ye may appoint over this business. But we would give ourselves continued prayer in the ministry of the word. And so that's what they did. And it names the people there in verse 5. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, the apostle at Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. When they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And, of course, it tells us how the word of God increased, etc. Now, verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, the Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. I like this next verse. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, that means they, in a negative way, convinced men, suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. Set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place in the law. We have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place, and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been, the face of an angel. You know, in Acts 6, the first 7 verses tell us about that selection of deacons. These were to be 7 godly men chosen by the church to help the apostles. And interestingly enough, in that list of deacons, the first one mentioned is Stephen. Now, as we read on, we learn very quickly that Stephen was a man sold out to the Lord. He was a very dedicated servant. And he served the Lord regardless of the cost, as we read in the next chapter, how he witnessed to the Pharisees and the council that he had to stand before and ended up being stoned to death for it. Now, as I read about Stephen, I believe that we see very clearly that he was a model servant for the Lord. Now, tonight I want to talk to you about being model servants for the Lord. See, I think we do well to be like Stephen. In our society today, our young people are exposed to a multitude of heroes from the world of sports, entertainment, etc. Sadly, in many instances, parents, even Christian parents, encourage our young people to be like the heroes of the worldly crowd. But yet, we read our Bible and we find some real heroes. We find some people that, not just our young people, but we ourselves ought to want to emulate and be like. Stephen's one of them. Here's a perfect example, if you will, of a real hero for all of us. Every one of us ought to desire to be the kind of servant Stephen was. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight, being the kind of servant Stephen was, a model servant. How can I do that? Well, number one, we do that by being available. I like the fact that Stephen made himself available to serve. In verses 5 and 6, it lists him. And he was chosen because the people who had looked around and seen him as filled with the Holy Ghost. And I think a part of that they saw was he was willing to do whatever needed to be done. Someone once said that the best ability a man can possess is availability. Have you ever thought about this? God cannot use a man's talent unless it's surrendered to him. I like what that sign says right there. God doesn't qualify the called, or doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Those who are available, God is going to make able. And God's not looking for talent. God's looking for usable vessels. God can give you talent. God can give you ability. But you see, God is by His own power limited Himself in that He needs us to yield ourselves to Him. He don't force us to do His work and will. But He's looking for some servants who will be available servants, surrendered to Him. It's amazing to me how many Christians have great abilities and do little or nothing for God. How many have great abilities and they use their abilities only for selfish reasons? Many have abilities but don't use them for the Lord. And God can't use a man's talent unless it's surrendered to Him. And many have time to serve God but they refuse to make themselves available to serve God. How many times have I said, you know, people say, well, I ask him to do something. Well, I don't know if I'll have time. You know what that tells me? It's not important to you. Because you'll make time for what's important. And I know this is a fact. Most of us Christians could do a whole lot more for the Lord with our time. Amen. Some have mixed up priorities. And they allow other things to crowd out service for the Lord. They're not available because their priorities are wrong. They put other things ahead of what God wants, and so when it comes time to serve the Lord, they're not available. They're doing this, they're doing that, they're doing that. Many have resources they could be using for the Lord, yet they're not using them. Don't raise your hand, but if I ask you this question, I wonder how many would testify that everything I own belongs to God. Isn't that what we tell people? All that I have belongs to the Lord. Does it really? Are you willing to use it for Him? Oh, now you're meddling, preacher. Your car, your house, your money, whatever you have, are you willing to use it for Him? I remember Dr. Gray, great man of God, used to preach across America Monday and Tuesday night. Every Monday and Tuesday night he was preaching somewhere across America in a conference. Great man of God. But you know, Wednesday night, Sunday morning and Sunday night, he used to bring people to church in his car. You know why? He said his car belonged to the Lord. He wanted to use it for the Lord. That was something he could do. We need to be willing to lay all on the altar and be totally available for the Lord, like Stephen was. By the way, a servant who's unavailable is useless to his master. Wow! How many of you consider yourselves servants of the Lord? Every hand in here ought to be up. We're servants of the Lord. But see, if we're unavailable, we're useless to Him. So number one, we can be good servants, model servants for the Lord by being available. Number two, by being a channel for the power of God. Look at verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Well, I would have liked to have been there to see that. Really, I would have loved to have been right there by Stephen when he's doing all this stuff. Not for the entertainment, for the awe of it. You know, we as believers need to experience God's power in our life. We need to experience God working through us. Channels. We need to have some power with God like Stephen had power with God. It said full of faith and power. How about some power in prayer? Do you ever get any prayers answered? Isn't it exciting when you pray about something and it don't take long, God answers that prayer? And you say, wow! Really? That ought to be a common thing for us. We need to believe in and practice prayer. We need to see prayers answered. And, you know, other people need to see our prayers being answered. Unsaved people. We need to be able to testify to them. Well, I prayed and God answered me. Power in prayer. Power in soul winning. We ought to be seeing people saved. Boy, that got one amen. But really, God didn't just leave us here to flounder in this world. We have a job to do. We talked about it Sunday. Power in prayer, power in soul winning, power in our personal testimony. We read about Stephen here. Verse 9. These people arose against him, and they weren't able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. He had a personal testimony here, and they hated him for it. And they even suborned men. They contracted with people to lie on him. Why? Because they hated him so much for his testimony. We need to have power in our personal testimony. People need to respect our stand for the Lord. People ought to know you're a believer. And have you ever had people who cuss all the time come around you and stop cussing? Now that's a blessing. It is. Now, when I worked at that can company, I had a lot of people who, after I got saved, they understood my testimony for the Lord. And they'd come around me, and sometimes they'd even slip, and they'd say, oh, I'm sorry. But you know, I had some other people who'd come around and cuss in front of me intentionally, just to dig at me. But either way, it still showed and displayed to me that they see I'm a Christian. They recognize there's something different about me. There's a power in my testimony. I told you how after I got saved, people used to come to me. I got to tell you this joke. First thing I ask them, is it dirty? I'm serious. I remember the one guy came to me. His name was Pepe. He said, hey, Art, I got a joke to tell you. I said, is it dirty? He said, yeah. I said, I don't want to hear it. He looked at me funny. We can be model servants by being available. By being a channel. And then here's something else. Look at verses 9 and 10. By being strong in the Scriptures. See, they were not able to resist the wisdom and spirit by which he spake. Why? He was speaking the Scriptures. He was speaking God's Word. He was speaking in a spiritual way. They couldn't resist that. You know, when we answer people with scriptural answers, they can't resist that. And the only way we're able to do that is to be strong in the Scriptures. I think Stephen was a man strong in the Scriptures. He was obviously a Jew who had gotten saved there and knew the Scriptures. And when they questioned him, they couldn't resist that wisdom and spirit by which he spake. They even said they heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses, against God. You know what the blasphemy he was speaking against Moses and God, they said was? You didn't have to make sacrifices anymore. You didn't have to be circumcised anymore. that they had killed the Christ, and on we could go. But listen, if we're going to be strong in the Scriptures, we got to read the Bible. And then we got to study the Bible. And we need to be ready to use the Bible as our sword in Hebrews 4:12 and Ephesians chapter 6. It's taking the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. You know, that's the only weapon we have. Think about this. You're told you're going to have to engage in a sword fight. Would you want to practice with your sword before you got in the sword fight? I would. Man, I'd want to put that puppy on and I'd practice drawing that thing and I'd practice wielding that thing and I'd practice everything I could with it. Because I'm about to get in the sword fight. I need to be able to use this puppy. We know this is our sword and we're in a fight every day. Remember what Jesus did when he was confronted by the devil, how he rebuked the devil? He used the sword. And so if we're going to be model servants, we need to be mighty in the Scriptures. How much do you know about your Bible? Do you have what we might call a working knowledge of the Bible? You're looking at me funny. Why? Do you understand the Old Testament, the New Testament? Do you understand what the epistles are? They're not the apostles' wives. Do you understand we have an historical section, we have a poetical section, we have a prophetical section in the Old Testament? Have you read your Bible enough? You're starting to put the pieces together. Israel and Judah and the kings and... Huh? Mighty in the Scriptures. Not novices. Now, if you've only been saved a week, I understand you're not going to be mighty in the Scriptures. But if you've been saved 10 years, 15 years, you ought to be pretty well versed in this book if you're reading it every day. Now, I tell you who's not going to be pretty well versed in this book is the person who reads a verse every now and again. Huh? Mighty in the Scriptures, Stephen was. And then fourthly, we can be model servants by reacting properly in the face of opposition. Stephen here is doing right. He's chosen to be a deacon because he's a Spirit-filled man. People have watched his life. And they said, this guy walks with God. And so now he's doing right. He's serving tables. He's doing miracles, the Bible said. Did great wonders and miracles among the people. By the way, deacons don't do that today. They don't raise the dead anymore or heal the sick. You know, that's past. But in those days they did. They had special powers. And he was part of that. But then look what happened to him. These people hate him for his testimony, so they lie on him. You ever been lied about? I hate that. I do. I tell folks, I can get in enough trouble just being myself with the truth. You don't need to lie on me. But I've had people lie on me. They lied. But notice how he reacts here. We don't find him losing his temper. In chapter 7, then said the high priest, "Do these things so?" And he said, "Men, brethren, fathers, hearken." Now he's going to preach to them. He didn't cuss them out. He didn't wish bad things on them. No, he reacted properly. How do you react when people do bad things to you? We can usually find out the answer to that question if we'll just ride in the car with you. I guarantee you ride in the car from here to MacArthur Road, somebody's going to do something bad to you on 22. In just that short span of time, somebody's going to cut you off or somebody's going to stop fast in front of us. They're going to do something. So how do we react? We should react properly. And that don't mean obscene gestures. That don't mean, you know, cussing people out or getting even with them. No. Well, you don't know what they did. Well, I understand. He would do bad things to us. We need to be careful how we react. And something else about Stephen, he didn't defend himself. You notice that? What did he do? He preached the gospel. They said, "Are these things so?" He said, "Oh no, they're lying about it." No, no. He just told them the truth. And boy, what a message he preached. He preached a great message to them. Took them right there from Abraham all the way up to Christ. One chapter. You know the interesting thing? When he got done, they stoned him to death. Telling them the truth. In verses 55 to the end there in chapter 7, or 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. See, that's what the Word of God does. It cuts to people's hearts, and that's why oftentimes they react negatively towards us. Because the Word of God is now cut to their heart, and they're convicted. Now, when you're convicted, you either get right or you get angry. They got angry. How do I know? I read this. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Here's some language for you. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. Now, there's a lot of controversy about what does that mean? Did they actually bite him? Some people think they did. And some people think they just kind of... But it shows you the anger that was in them. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. Now, I've never yet seen this happen in the church. That's stopping your ears. I've never seen anybody physically do that. But I'll guarantee you, probably every Sunday, somewhere in the service, that happens. Not physically, mentally. People do not want to hear what's being said. I stop their ears. It's like a little kid. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to throw this at you. Whether you accept it, whether you believe it, whether you stop your ears to it, doesn't change truth from being truth. Amen? People say, I don't want to hear that. It doesn't change the fact that you're going to die and go to hell unless you're saved. You stop your ears all you want to. They ran upon him with one accord. That's not a Honda. One mind. They were unified in this thing. And cast him out of the city and stoned him. They stoned him to death. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. You know who that is. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Notice his reaction. Even now he's so Christ-like. Remember when Christ was crucified? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Here's Stephen, people are stoning him to death, and what does he do? He calls on the Lord Jesus to receive his spirit, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. When he had said this, he fell asleep. What a man of God he had to be. He did not react inappropriately. He didn't seek to defend himself. He let God defend him. He didn't alter his course. He understood these people were upset. These people were angry. But he didn't try to make peace with them or stop them from doing what they were going to do. He didn't alter his course because of what was about to happen to him. Nothing could deter him. Nothing could distract him. And it's interesting how he was sustained in that hour of adversity. He was so surrendered to the Lord, he could just accept what these evil people were doing. I don't know about you, but I want to be a model servant like Stephen was. I want to be the kind of servant God wants me to be. I want to be available. I want to be a channel for the power of God to flow through. I want to be mighty in the Scriptures. I want to react properly in the face of opposition. And I want to be sustained in my hour of adversity. Just like Stephen was. What an example he is to us. By the way, if you've not read his sermon there in chapter 7, you need to read it. Wow. Packed full of truth. And yet, for all that truth, people still killed him. It just shows you the power of the enemy and the hatred for the gospel. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody loved the gospel message? Wouldn't it be great if you could knock on somebody's door and they said, I'm so glad you came. Come and talk to me. If you've been with us on soul winning, you know that's not what we get. Brother Hamlin said several times while he was here, there's a war going on. It's a continual spiritual warfare. And we're the pawns, so to speak. We're the soldiers. We're the servants. I want to be the servant God wants me to be. Stephen's a real good example. Maybe you need to just read about him a little bit. See if maybe there aren't some things in his life you can put into yours. Make you a better servant. Father, thank you for Stephen, his testimony. And Lord, help us to learn from him. That we might be more of what you want us to be and do more of what you want us to do. Help us to be available. As a man once said, the best ability is availability. We know you're looking for vessels to use. Help us to be yielded vessels, yielded to your work and your will, so that you can use us to your praise and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Yes, sir. while I was just there. Okay.
Months ago?
No, longer than that.